Now, cancer patients and their spouses are both likely to experience depression. But a new study from the University of Wisconsin Carbone Cancer Center finds that depressed spouses of cancer patients are significantly less likely to get treatment for that depression. The lead author of that study joins us now. Dr. Kristen Litzelman is an assistant professor at UW-Madison, member of the UW Carbone Cancer Center, and Human and Development and Family Studies State Specialist with Family Living Programs through the UW Cooperative Extension's School of Human Ecology. Dr. Litzelman, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Before we get into the specific study, I want to talk about the value of looking at caregivers. In a talk you gave, you say this is something that's going to affect pretty much all of us at some point in our lives.
Absolutely, yeah. There is a quote from Rosalind Carter, who was one of our former first ladies, saying that everyone either has been a caregiver, will be a caregiver, is a caregiver, or will need a caregiver. And that's very true. We have people growing older and staying healthier for longer, but that also means that you have longer periods of time where people have the need for a caregiver, whether that's because they are ill or disabled or just getting older and more frail and need extra help. And so that does impact almost everyone at some point in their lives. It's very prevalent at any given time in Wisconsin. Someone is, about 18% of people are reporting that they are caregivers or have been in the past 12 months. So it's really common. And people tend to flow in and out of caregiving. They may be a caregiver for a while and then stop for a while, and then sometimes they become a caregiver again for the same person or for someone new.
Let's zoom in on this study I mentioned. What were you trying to find out about people with cancer and their caregivers, their spouses in this case?
Yeah, so we know that caregiving is really stressful for people. There's a lot of benefits that come with it. People often feel that they get a sense of self-esteem from it, or they develop a better relationship with their family, but it's also very stressful at the same time. And partly related to that, we know that things like depression and anxiety and other mental health concerns are really prevalent among caregivers. And so what I was interested in was whether or not caregivers are getting treated when they have depression. And that's because we know that caregivers tend to have a lot of time commitments, they tend to have a lot of financial commitments, and there's reason to think that they might have a harder time accessing care because of some of those limitations. But we don't really know anything before the study about whether or not they actually are getting treated at the rate that we would expect them to, at the same rate as people who aren't caring for someone with cancer.
And what did you find out about whether those caregivers, spouses in this case, are getting treated when they have depression?
Yeah, so what we ended up finding was that spouses of cancer survivors were 33% less likely to get adequate depression treatment than other married adults. So when you compare them to people who look just like them, in a national sample, caregivers were less likely to be getting the amount of treatment that guidelines say they would need in order to see their depression go into remission. On top of that, we looked at how rural caregivers compare to urban caregivers and their counterparts. And what we found was that rural caregivers were particularly strongly impacted by this. They were more than 70% less likely to get adequate treatment compared to other married adults in rural areas. And they were also less likely to get treatment compared to caregivers in urban areas. So rural caregivers were really strongly impacted and were not getting treatment at the same rates as everyone else.
And this is kind of double bad news, it sounds like, because obviously it's bad for the spouse here taking care of someone who has cancer if they're feeling depressed. That in turn, as I understand it, can have bad effects on the person suffering from cancer themselves.
That's right. We're learning more and more about how caregiver well-being and patient well-being are intertwined. And this extends beyond cancer, but in cancer is what I have studied. And what we've been seeing is that when a spouse is depressed, the cancer survivor that they're caring for is actually four times more likely to become depressed later. This is something that we're seeing happen over time. And it's interesting because we don't actually see the inverse as much. When the survivor is experiencing depression, we still see a little bit of trickle effect onto the caregiver, but it's not nearly to the same degree. It really seems to be something related to how the caregiver is doing impacting the person with cancer. And as I said, we see that outside of cancer as well, and it's something that we're starting to learn more and more about.
We're talking about caregivers, depression, a new study from the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. Dr. Kristen Litzelman is with us, lead author of this study. So, Dr. Litzelman, when someone is dealing with cancer themselves, is depression treatment, is mental health treatment often part of the picture?
It really depends on the person and how they're doing. If someone has depression, we know that we have depression treatments that work. And sometimes the first line treatment doesn't work and people need to come back and get seen and have multiple sources of care helping them. But we know that depression treatment does work, and it works for cancer patients, it works for caregivers. And so if someone is experiencing depression, often among cancer survivors, that will get picked up by the oncologists and the doctors and nurses that they're working with, and they will receive treatment for that. Caregivers are less likely to have that picked up if they aren't seeing their own care provider, and it's not something that necessarily gets screened for in the oncology setting. If a caregiver is going with a cancer patient to their cancer appointments, the caregiver isn't necessarily getting screened for their own mental health problems. And so it might be less likely to get picked up among caregivers than it would be among the cancer survivors themselves, where they're expected to get screened for that. And there's a process for helping them through some of the emotional and mental side effects of their cancer and their treatment.
Right. And based on this study and other work you've done, do you think that should maybe be part of the conversation when someone is in being treated for cancer, looking at that spouse or other caregiver and saying, hey, do you have your needs met?
Yeah, it has a big impact on how the patient experiences their outcomes. We talked already about the spillover of depression from one person to another. It affects how the cancer patient perceives the care that they're getting from their medical team. So it's possible that there's a lot of impacts of caregiver depression on the patient and the care that they're getting and their ability to work through the side effects and work through the treatment and to the whole family beyond even the patient themselves. And so it is really complicated because the clinical care system, as we know, the medical care system is really complicated. But there are a lot of implications of this, ranging from caregivers themselves knowing that they're at risk for being undertreated for depression so that they can possibly reach out and know the importance of following through with their treatment plan and seeking care, knowing that cancer depression treatment is functional for them and can help them, but all the way through to clinical care. So in an oncology setting, you know, it would be great if we could find a way to screen caregivers in that oncology setting where they already are going with their cancer patient that they're working with in order to make sure that we're picking up on that. That's a really hard process. There are some places where they're doing that already. The VA, the Veteran Affairs hospitals, are a good example of that because they have some caregiver supports in place that are doing a better job of capturing some of those caregiver burdens and offering more help to caregivers. But it's a really complicated process. And so that's what I and other researchers are continuing to work on, to find a way to make it easier for caregivers to get screened, get treated, and hopefully be able to improve outcomes, not just for the caregiver, but also for the patient, and maybe extending to other family members as well from there.
Talking to Dr. Kristen Litzelman. She's an assistant professor at UW-Madison and a member of the UW-Carbone Cancer Center, lead author on a study finding spouses of cancer patients are less likely to seek treatment for depression when they experience that depression. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been? Are you a caregiver for a spouse or other relative? Were there mental health challenges that you faced in dealing with this, depression, anxiety? Were you able to get help? Did you seek out help, or did you just think it was a part of the job, part of the work of being a caregiver? Do you have advice for other people going through the same thing? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about mental health and cancer care with Dr. Kristen Litzelman. She's the lead author of a new study from the UW-Carbone Cancer Center finding that spouses of cancer patients are less likely to seek treatment when they have depression, talking about them and caregiving more generally. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been in this position of being a caregiver? Are you now? Were you hesitant to seek treatment for maybe depression as a caregiver? Do you have advice for people going through the same thing? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Listleman, before we go to our callers, supposing everybody's on board, we like this idea of giving some kind of mental health care to caregivers in rural areas in particular, where we hear about lack of access to mental health care. Do we have the resources to do this?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And it's a real challenge. If you think about the kinds of treatment that people typically get for depression, it's things like antidepressant medications or some sort of therapy or counseling where you're going and talking to someone in person. And that can be challenging because in rural areas, you may have further to go to get to a pharmacy to fill that prescription, or you may have further to go in order to see a counselor if there are counselors readily available in your area. So there are solutions to that, things like the telemedicine, where you can talk to a counselor over the phone or get a prescription mailed to you, are possibilities. The hard thing about that is something like telemedicine, you may need access to broadband, for example, in order to have a video conference with a counselor. And that's also a challenge in rural areas. So I think that that's something that is coming. I know that there's interest in the state in increasing access to broadband, especially in rural areas, and increasing access to mental health care in rural areas. I know that across the state, counties and communities are really interested in this question of mental health care and how they can help the people in their communities. And that spans everything from things like depression treatment to the opioid crisis. There's interest in increasing that. So I think that the resources are coming, but it does continue to be a challenge. And part of that is just the geographical distance that we have in those rural areas and the fact that everything is more spread out. And so everything is more time consuming and potentially more expensive for people who live in those areas.
I want to bring on a caller now. Richard is with us in Milwaukee. Richard, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Richard?
Well, my experience as a caregiver, I learned that I had to be happy, keep myself fit physically and mentally. I had to help keep her fit. If she wanted to exercise, encourage her to, and mentally by playing music that she liked, that she was familiar with, she could sing along with. But I reached out for help too. Her cousin that lived not too far away. Was a little older, but about pretty much the same age today. She'd come over, we'd play cards together, laugh a lot.
Richard, thank you so much for sharing your story. Just a lot in that little bit there from Richard, Dr. Litzelman. First of all, the importance, I hear this a lot about caregivers taking time, not just for their mental health, their physical well-being, nutrition, exercise, things like that.
Yeah, self-care is a very important step for caregivers and something that is challenging to do. It's hard to find time or the energy to practice self-care when you're worried about the person you're caring for or exhausted because you've been up all night trying to help them. But it is really important. You can't take care of someone else unless you're taking care of yourself. And things like continuing those social relationships, bringing people over to play cards, leaving the house in order to see friends, those can be hugely beneficial to caregivers. Challenging to find ways to implement that, but caregivers can do it a little bit at a time. Caregivers can ask themselves, what can I do for 5 minutes today that is going to help my own personal well-being, whether that is taking a walk or finding a way to laugh with the person that they're caring for or taking 5 minutes to read a story in the newspaper and just be by themselves. Anything that can help them increase that self-care is going to be really helpful. And that physical activity portion is huge as well. Exercise can really be helpful for not just caregivers, but also their care recipients if they're getting them involved. And that can be misinterpreted to mean things like going to the gym for 20 or 30 minutes. Really, anything that you can do to keep yourself physically active and mentally active is going to help.
I want to jump in, Dr. Litzelman, and bring on one more caller, Jennifer, with us in Appleton. Jennifer, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about Jennifer?
Just struggling with a husband, probably going on the last years of the prostate cancer, and it's just somewhat struggling with, a lot of people say you have to be a rock. You have to be his, you know, provider and help him through everything. There's days that I don't feel like I can be a rock. And it hurts me, and it makes me feel insufficient.
Jennifer, we'll get some advice from Dr. Litzelman. I hear in your voice, I think you're doing a great job. Good luck to you and your husband. Dr. Litzelman, as we start to wrap up, advice for Jennifer and other people in her situation.
Yeah, it's a really hard place to be in, especially if you are trying to be strong for both yourself and the person that you're caring for. That's a really, really hard thing to do. And it's I can give advice, but it's you know, sometimes it doesn't come across as something that is doable. So the advice that I would have is see if there's someone you can talk to about that. If there's a friend or a sibling, you can even talk to your spouse about that. There's been some research where we know that when you can share those negative feelings with your spouse, if you feel comfortable doing that, that can really help both of you. It can help you feel better and help him feel better because he probably knows that you're struggling. And being able to talk about it can help a lot, even if that's a difficult conversation to have.
And hopefully getting some of the guilt you're going to feel out of the situation, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's hard for both of you, and it's hard for other people in the family, too. And so the more you can communicate about that, the more you can process that and think it through.
Dr. Litzelman, thanks so much for joining us today and sharing your research with us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Dr. Kristen Litzelman. She's an assistant professor at UW-Madison and a member of the UW Carbone Cancer Center. She's a lead author on the study we have been talking about, finding spouses of cancer patients are less likely to seek treatment for depression.